So, what happens when two people with conflicting values fall in love with each other? Stick around to find out.
Welcome to the Reflection Room. My name's Hannah, and I'm a licensed mental health counselor.
My name's Natalie Rosato, and I'm a licensed mental health counselor and the owner of Tampa Counseling Place. And I'm so excited to introduce to you our newest team member. And her name is Amanda Lee. Amanda, do you want to share a little bit about yourself?
Of course, yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Amanda Lee. I am the newest team member at Tampa Counseling Place here at the Reflection Room. I'm very excited to be here. A little bit about me. I'm a graduate student at the University of South Florida, and I'm in the rehabilitation and mental health counseling program. So on the track to becoming a licensed counselor. Still got a little bit to go, but yeah, very excited to be here today.
We are so excited to have you. I don't know how you guys have been feeling, but I am so looking forward to today's topic. So, this is the third, so the last of our series. So, the first one we did was on the show Shrinking, which was so much fun. And then we kind of pivoted a little bit, right? And we did a bit of a more serious topic, and we talked a little bit about the Menendez brothers, and then we are back to rom-com. And so today we will be talking about the show Nobody Wants This. How are you guys feeling about it so far?
I'm super excited. I think this is going to be fun and lighthearted and a good time.
I'm very excited. I binge watched the show like immediately, like in a couple days when it came out. So I'm obsessed. I'm here for it.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting is that I heard like there was a lot of buzz around this show, and I don't know why I'm one of those that if everybody's watching it, I'm like, oh my God, you know,
I'm
like
the same way.
buy it. Yeah.
Yes, I held off on watching this one for so long.
Yes.
And I only started watching it because all of my clients were talking about it. And they kept saying like, you have to watch this. Why haven't you watched this? You're gonna love it. And so I finally did it and I loved it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here.
Not
Same.
me. I just jumped on the bandwagon. I was like, oh, everyone likes it. Let's go. Like, I used to be like that. Like, Stranger Things, it took me years to watch it because I was like, everyone's, it's too hyped. It's too hyped. And then I was like, there's mental health themes in this. So I'm passionate about that stuff. So.
I mean, I'm really glad I watched it. Yeah, I'm like really excited. But the same thing, yeah, happened to me, Hannah. I just, yeah, I didn't watch it. And then so many clients were like referencing it. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, am I getting too old that I don't understand the references? Is this a show that I really want to watch? Like, I don't know. And finally, I was like, you know what? I'll just give in and watch it. I'm so happy I did. Absolutely loved it. I was like really excited when we decided to do this. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. Yeah. So, and again, we don't know the clips. So we do know that there's three of them that we'll be watching. So I'm excited to see which three of the clips were pulled for us. Do we know there's a second season coming out? Do we know yet?
I heard rumors.
Yeah.
I guess
Which
very
would
excited.
make sense because it ended on a cliffhanger. So,
True.
yeah, like we were left with, oh, okay.
By the way, do you guys know that this was based off of a true story?
No,
Yes.
that's crazy.
Yes. So I don't know the details, but when I read about it initially, I got kind of intrigued. One of David Foster's daughters, she's the one that the story is based off of. So she ended up falling in love with a man who says, you know, Jewish. That's his religion. He's I think a music like executive or something. They didn't want it to be too close to his like real story, just to like protect his family and things like that. So they decided to make, yeah, Noah's a rabbi in like the show. But I thought that was really interesting.
That is interesting.
I did not know the show lore, so that's good to know where it's based off.
So you guys ready?
I'm ready.
So
Let's
we'll
do it.
do, let's see, clip one.
Oh, it's an engagement ring. Whoa, did you guys get engaged? No. No. Okay. So I like randomly found it. It's so weird. A few months ago in like the bottom drawer of your desk. And
Desk that was locked?
yeah, that one. But it's so funny because I also like randomly found the key. I don't know how, but
Rebecca,
yeah, no.
you can't go around unlocking all my stuff. It's a violation of privacy.
You were clearly going to propose anyway, and I don't really know what's taking you so long. So now we can just like skip past the whole will you marry me part because I say yes.
Okay. Wow. That's a good one.
A good one.
Yeah, it is. I remember when I watched the show, I was very thrown off by that scene. So this will be fun.
What threw you off the actor a little bit?
Oh gosh. I think it was just like, I think this is like, I could be wrong, but I think this is our first introduction to his girlfriend, Rebecca. And it's just kind of like, I feel like it gives a really good like view of what's going on in their relationship.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, there were so many things that, like, okay, so looking at it through a therapist lens, right, which is what we're doing, there were so many things that stood out, like the idea of like privacy, right? So is it okay to look through your partner's stuff without their permission? Another thing I thought about, especially when rewatching the clip just now, was she kind of alluded to like it was time to get engaged. So should there be a time frame when it comes to like dating and, you know, how long you're dating versus, you know, being engaged, or should there be a time frame on that? So I thought it was really interesting, even in that short period of time, like how much I felt really came up. Any thoughts on like privacy? What are your guys' thoughts on that topic?
I feel like this comes up a lot with my clients. I think you shouldn't look through their phone. You shouldn't be looking through their stuff, and they shouldn't look through yours. But I think there should also be like a transparency, like allowing somebody to know your password, like your partner to know your password, even though you shouldn't. It's just a very complicated situation. But I feel like this action signifies like, and I don't know if this is the right word for like marriage counseling, but like bulldozing the relationship. She took control and she's like, no, we're just gonna get engaged whether you ask me or not. She's also just going through his stuff like it doesn't even matter. So yeah, I think there's a lot of problems with that, not just because of the privacy part, but also because she's kind of just taking control of the entire situation, and it looks like it's been that way for a while.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the fact that it was locked and then said to found key, and then that there's like a little energy there that I just don't fully agree with as a therapist in terms of privacy and relationships. And like you said, Hannah, like I feel like she kind of took the role and like did this in the relationship. And I feel like that's almost unfair to Noah in this situation because like maybe he was planning something like big or romantic or whatever, you know. And then he didn't get that opportunity to just because of said societal timeline or what she was expecting from the relationship. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there.
And she didn't even tell him. She just started wearing
The brother's like, oh, is that an engagement? He's like seeing this for the first time. Like, what?
There's so many things wrong with that. I mean, after the story begins to kind of like unfold, you get a sense of like the brother's personality. So like that statement, I mean, it fits the character, you know, but initially, I remember watching that. And I was like, man, that was like a bold, kind of a bold statement, I think, on the brother's part too, to like he saw his brother's reaction. You know, clearly something was off there, and he kind of still spoke, you know, like without censoring himself and impulsively made a comment. And it just reminds me too a lot of how, and we hear this a lot in therapy sessions with our clients, how extended family members oftentimes, I mean, this is just a silly example, but will like interject themselves in people's relationships and, or even in people's li individual lives, asking questions that might be a little bit inappropriate or just kind of unacceptable, or yeah, giving advice or feedback that's unwarranted or like unwanted. And so I think that was, I mean, a silly example of it, but still, nonetheless, I think an example of what happens, I think, in real life with like extended family members, just really, yeah, crossing boundaries, not respecting boundaries, and thinking that it's okay to, yeah, ask questions that are completely out of line, and not reading like nonverbal cues. Like obviously his brother was very uncomfortable with like his girlfriend or fiance rummaging through his stuff. That was really
Yeah.
interesting.
I think that speaks so much to his character because Sasha is just like throughout the entire series is just so unfiltered. Like, I feel like that's just like we could talk about Sasha all day. Like, he has his own stuff going on. But yes, that's incredibly true. Like, the influence that other people can have on a relationship and what kind of impact that has on them and like what kind of power we as people like let other people have on our relationships or even just our individual lives. Yeah, no, that, and then to speak to the nonverbals, I mean, you could see in that moment, like, obviously he's distressed. The brother, Noah, is like awkward about it, but he's also trying to actively seek towards, Rebecca, like, hey, like, what's going on here? And like making an effort to talk about what happened. But then she's like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, completely, like, her nonverbal language was just kind of like brushing it off, literally. Like, that it didn't matter that much when in reality, like, it's clear that it mattered to Noah and that he had a way that he wanted to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
Which I will say, like, some people don't want the whole big proposal. They
Yes,
don't, yeah,
100%.
and that's
Yeah.
okay too. It doesn't have to be some huge shindig. Like, I know my parents didn't do that at all. My dad was like, oh, so should we get married? And my mom was like, yeah. And then they went and got an engagement ring together. So,
Oh, thank you.
really? Yeah. So some people, it sounds like Noah, though, in this case, he probably did have a plan. He probably had, because it he had the ring for a long time. So he was probably planning something to go about it. But then I also, Natalie, when you were talking about Sasha's behavior in his marriage in the show, she really runs the marriage and she has no filter whatsoever. And she also doesn't care about his privacy. So maybe that's something that's being modeled, and also by Noah's parents in the show. That's being modeled for him as how it should go. And they think that Rebecca should be his wife because she's the perfect person. But if there's no connection there, then it's really his decision.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, that's a great connection. Yeah, that's so true. Now that you say that too, because to what you're speaking to Amanda as well, like Rebecca was very like dismissive of Noah's feelings in that moment. And we see that play out a lot with like Sasha's wife and then also with their mother as well, just being very dismissive of like the men in the family. So you can see that there's definitely a pattern there that's being like passed down for sure from generation to generation.
Yeah, and that generational pattern, I'm sure, mixed with like culture, all of this combined is just like modeling and modeling and modeling. Yeah, and I feel like Noah's like almost like the one who wants to change things. Yeah.
Yes, which is why I think that I feel like there probably was like a hesitancy there, right, to like give the ring, and in my opinion, which is interesting, because or at least I see it through, that's the lens that I see it through. And I feel like there always has to, we always say in counseling, there has to be this like one person that's willing to be like the chain breaker or like the person that breaks through these unhealthy patterns or habits that get passed down from, generation to generation. And so it's interesting that we see it a little bit play out with Noah, possibly from even early on, where he might even recognize, like, huh, there's something unhealthy here about my relationship with Rebecca. May not even be able to put his finger on it, but maybe he wants a change and he just doesn't know why or what it is just yet. And that might even be the reason why he hasn't proposed, yet. So
Yeah, even though like technically she's the perfect girl, like Hannah was alluding to, like, matches the culture, is Jewish, like everything that his parents want and value, and that he inherently was grown up to value as well. But yeah, it's very interesting that it was locked away. Like maybe there is a hesitancy that he had that maybe was like very subconscious, like a generational curse breaker kind of thing. That's like really good.
It's interesting, just that when you said that, like locked away, it reminded me of Joanne. A while later, there's like whole situation with like he has like Noah has this box,
Yes.
like Rebecca's stuff in it, and he
His
has,
box. Yeah.
yeah,
Oh, yeah.
and she looks right, but I think the difference there, if I'm re recalling correctly, I think she does she admit to it herself?
He resisted for a long time.
Yeah.
And then
I was like, let's give her
he,
credit. She resisted.
she held back. No,
She would
even
like
that
open
anxious
it,
attachment style.
look at it. She was scared, but yeah.
She might have looked at it because of her sister, though, if
Yes. She kind of encouraged Morgan, like encouraged her, and then she just kind of did it. And I think that's a dynamic in of itself. But I think after she had gone through it, she just kind of like said to Noah, she's like, I saw it, I was obsessing over it, I didn't open it, and I opened it, and this is the insecurities I have, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Well, so you see the difference there, and even like the same behavior,
Yeah, it is.
yeah, going into your partner's like stuff, but
Yeah.
their response was different. Just like, with Joanne, she felt bad and admitted it, and then you saw that response was different on Noah's end too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think a big thing too is that like that was the first time Joanne has resisted that urge. It's very clear that her like past relationship, she would just like check the phone or look at it immediately. And it was like something that kind of blossomed in their relationship, as we'll talk about a little bit more. Like Noah's a little bit like there's a little bit more secure attachment, and it's a little bit of healthier communication. And it's clear that she's like trying to make an effort to make a change. And like that wasn't a pattern that she originally had. So, yeah, that speaks volumes to that. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, it's just so interesting how often this comes up in counseling sessions, this idea of like, is it okay to have each other's passwords? Okay to look at each other's phone or to have access to social media accounts and things like that. And at least for me, like the way that I've usually like tackled that in sessions is like, if somebody's asking that, whether or not they share the passwords, I mean, it's a decision that they decide, to make in their relationship, and that's a personal decision. But I kind of see that as like the symptom of like the deeper issue of like th there clearly is a question there of can I trust my partner? Whether that comes from personal experience they've had within that specific relationship or experience they've had in previous relationships. And sometimes it's interesting how clients come and they think they want to talk about like one thing, like passwords, and really our job as therapists is to talk about the real thing, which is trust. And where does this mistrust really kind of stem from? So yeah, so I thought it was really interesting when that topic came up in this series.
Let's keep going. We're strapped in.
Speaking of places, I spoke to your mom and we found
You
this wedding venue.
talk to my mom about
I
this?
always talk to your mom.
Oh my God, that's not okay.
Noah, I don't understand what the disconnect here
You
is.
don't?
I don't, hun. We're together and we get married. It's just not that complicated.
I don't know. It seems like you're checking off items on a list, and I don't think that's how it should feel.
Off items on a list.
Yeah.
Back to that society stuff.
What do you guys think about her talking to his mom?
That's kind of like in the culture for sure, but it seems like there's a boundary being crossed. Like maybe that's not something he's 100% like okay with. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like even more than going through his stuff, she's also crossing that boundary of including his family when he doesn't want that.
Without including him.
She still never told him.
She's talking to his mom.
I
She has
can't. Yeah.
plans, but there's no conversation with said future husband.
Yeah.
Imagine in his shoes. It's like one thing after another, just like coming from out of left field. It's like she got the ring, and then how she got the ring was like she looked for the key, and then she talked to his mom behind his back. And I wonder like what he was probably thinking in that moment. I'm sure there were probably feelings of betrayal or confusion, or even like, do I even know this person? Like, do I want to be with a person? I mean, I can only imagine what was really kind of running through his mind in those moments.
Yeah. Especially if he's like starting to question things about his life and maybe subconsciously kind of like questioning certain things about his upbringing or if he wants to be kind of like changing the narrative.
I also think, I've had a ton of clients and friends even who are maybe impatient with the timeline and they want their partner to ask them to marry them. And they get so upset about it. But the number one thing I've noticed is that they don't talk to their boyfriend about it. They never say, like, hey, when are we going to get married? Like, they never communicate that. And clearly, she didn't communicate that either. It doesn't sound like she was asking, like, what are you thinking about marriage? Like, do you see yourself marrying me? Like, she just went straight in and did it herself without ever asking. So,
No communication there. Yeah.
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, you bring up a good point, Hannah. And there are so many times that I mean, here we're talking about engagement, you know, but it could really be anything. But there are so many times where sometimes I'll have a conversation with a client even about like what a boundary even is, because that word gets thrown around a lot, you know, in day-to-day conversations, on social media, you'll see it everywhere. Like sometimes people will say in situations like this, especially when there's high conflict, they say they want to set a boundary, but I don't think people really fully understand like what a healthy boundary actually is. And so clearly Rebecca didn't, you know. But in a case like this, if Rebecca were my client, what is it that you're wanting? You know, like what is a timeline that you feel like if we get to this point and we're still, you know, not engaged, like Noah has not asked me to be his fiance, then this is what I'm going to do. You know, and a lot of times people think that boundaries are almost like forcing the other person to do or not do something. But really, boundaries are saying, like, if you are deciding to not do X, Y, and Z, then just know that this is going to be my decision, you know, this is going to be my response, or this is going to be like the outcome. And so in a case like this, you know, if she felt like it was too long and they had not gotten engaged, then you're right, sitting down and having that conversation and saying, I feel like we have been in a relationship for too long without an engagement. And so this is what I'm going to do, whether that's, you know, separating for a period of time or ending the relationship or whatnot. But yeah, but clearly this was not at all a healthy decision on Rebecca's part.
Clear communication is so important in relationships. Like, if you have this vision for your relationship, it should really be something that you talk about with your partner with, because they're not mind readers. Like, say they don't know this imaginary timeline that you have, or said timeline that you're comfortable with, and it's not discussed, like, then you can just be kind of ruminating on that for a while without the person even knowing that there's a problem. It's definitely important to have those clear conversations.
Yeah, and I love how he said, like, just checking things off a list.
Yeah.
A to-do list. Yeah.
It's interesting. What do you guys think about that? Because clearly their perspectives or views on what a romantic relationship should look like or feel like very different. You know,
Yeah.
she's just looking at the steps, or he clearly was maybe more focused on like a connection or something, I'm assuming. So yeah, what are your guys' thoughts on his comment there? I was like, oh gosh, that had to hurt.
Well, I think Noah kind of has a problem with women that don't share his values. So clearly, Rebecca doesn't share his value of the creating these moments in a relationship that are more than just checking things off a list. He wants the feeling, he wants the romance, he wants something that creates that connection. So she doesn't share that same value. And when values don't line up in a relationship, it tends to not work out. But then he goes and gets with Joanne, who does not share his religious beliefs. And that is one of the biggest values differences that can destroy a relationship. So I think, in my view, he has a serious problem with finding women that don't share his values. And then he has to compromise somehow.
Yeah. Wow.
What happens is you see then like one person always has to like miss out in those moments, like in the situation with Rebecca's forcing Noah to like match her values. And with Noah and Joanne feels the need or feels forced in some ways to match Noah's values, which is why you see her kind of go forth with like, can I convert? Can I not convert? And you know, you see that like inner turmoil with her.
Yeah, I feel like he makes it very clear to her that he really can't pursue their relationship unless she does. Obviously, towards the end, they get over that spoiler. But yeah, I'm excited to see what that will kind of flourish into in season two. like whether or not she will, or if he kind of will compromise and be okay with her having different values than him. Because, like you said, Hannah, it's a problem. Yeah.
Because he can't be a rabbi unless she converts to Judaism. So that's a pretty big life commitment she's got to make.
Huge.
Work.
Yeah. And I feel like Joanne like encompasses a very like, independent woman, she has this sex podcast. Like she's like literally the opposite of what you think a rabbi's wife would be. In the most like the best way possible. So it's like an, like you said, Natalie, like an inner turmoil that she kind of goes through. Like, am I doing my values or are these values skewed? Like she's figuring out all that. Yeah.
What do you guys think about this? As you were talking about values, it got me thinking. Do you think these things should be shared early on when people begin dating? Or do you think that's like too much up front and it's like a lot? And then people should kind of wait till they think that things are getting a little bit more serious with someone.
I feel like I'm gonna give a typical mental health answer and say it depends, because that's what all my professors say. No, but it truly does. I feel like it depends on the nature of like where the relationship's going, how it starts. I feel like it even boils down to what your values are as a person, if you value to say it in the beginning or not. It can get complicated for sure. But if I were to answer that, I think it should be shared at a good time before things get too serious, at least. I think it like as a partner who wants to be in a committed relationship, kind of owe it to the other person to lay it out all on the table, like whatever that might be for you. So I think it's important to have those conversations earlier. Yeah.
I agree, and I'm coming from a personal point of view.
Yeah.
I do, like, even before the first date, especially when it comes to faith. Faith is the biggest one for me. So if they don't share the same faith, or like if they don't pursue God in the same like pursuit as me, then I don't want to get involved because I know it's just going to be painful if I do end up liking them. And then that doesn't line up because it won't go much further if we can't agree on the same things. So that's just from as a Christian, like my personal experience with dating. So I try to get that out there as soon as possible and get a little feeler for their faith and like their relationship with God. And then I can decide, like, do we keep going or not?
Yeah, there's so many funny like memes and videos about this, like, with first dates, and you're like interrogating them about.
Yes. Oh my gosh, it does feel like that, right?
You're like, so have you ever been to therapy?
Yeah.
That's the number one question I feel like therapists ask.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness.
I feel like it depends. I feel like it depends too, honestly. But it's funny because my answer, I think, is kind of in the middle of yours. So it's so funny. Like, I think that there are a handful of values that are foundational that I think are really important for everyone. I think if people really kind of sat back and thought about it, there might be like a few that people wouldn't really stray from. But and then I think that there are others that, that might not necessarily be as important or significant, or sometimes there are some things that we value that we've always valued because of our upbringing or just because of the life that we've lived. And yeah, and when you interact with someone else, it just kind of like o opens your eyes or just allows you to see things in a different way. And so I think there are some that are non-negotiable, and then I think that there are others that, there might be room, some room for wiggle room, I guess, and flexibility. The ones that kind of steadfast on and like just don't want to waver from, I think those are the ones that are really important to like make sure that you're on the same page, with. Yeah, like religion, like between, Joanne and and Noah, like he brought it up, I think, pretty early on. But the way he brought it up, I think, wasn't very, I think he even said something like, not even just a little Jewish or something along those lines. So it was
Yeah, no, I love that. That's so funny.
Oh my
You're not
God.
even just the Yeah. No, but the first time they met, she's like, they're at this dinner party and she hears that there's this rabbi there and she doesn't know it's him. And he like plays it off because he's like young and doesn't look like what I guess her stereotypical version of a rabbi is. And he's kind of like, knows that she doesn't know. And then it kind of gets revealed and she's like making fun of the rabbi before she knows it's him. And then he's like, oh, by the way, I'm the rabbi. And she's just like completely shook by it. Yeah, I think their dynamic, their banter is, I love their banter in the show. It's very cute.
Yeah, I love that aspect too. You're right. How like this show just really kind of broke through a lot of stereotypes. Like,
It did.
think about a rabbi that just has like the best sense of humor, and you're just like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you know, I, it, it's something you I don't think a lot of people would necessarily think of. Maybe I don't know. I might be wrong, but I just love how they just presented so many things that are just, outside, I think, of like the norm. Or yeah, I thought it was really cool how they put all those things together. So.
And even Noah himself, he's breaking stereotypes. He's
Oh
like, I forget what the word that they called
yeah. Oh, that's right. At the
her.
camp. You're talking about the camp.
Like, or yeah, at the camp, and then even like his parents, when she went to the temple, like everyone, they called her a shishka, I think it is. I could be wrong, but there was like a term because she wasn't of the religion. Like, he's breaking stereotypes there of like seeking someone outside, and like, that's not the norm, and everyone's uncomfortable with it. Yeah, the whole show is just cool like that.
Are you guys ready for the last one?
Yes,
Yeah.
do it.
Final clip. All right, here we go.
You feel like someone whose parents are still married.
Do I? Yeah, 41 years. You?
My dad is gay. My mom is still in love with him. And tonight she's doing ayahuasca with her Uber driver,
Really?
if I read the text correctly.
Okay, so not together. Trying to highlight our differences.
I guess I'm just testing you, seeing if I can say something that would scare you.
Oh, you scare me, Joanne. You too.
I do?
Yeah, you're terrifying. You're an unfiltered, complicated, vulnerable, beautiful woman.
Oh. I love Noah.
Oh, man.
There's a lot there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about her, guys? Like, about her highlighting the differences? Like, that's probably the part that stood out for me the most. And it's interesting, when you think about, like, attachment styles, and you think about, like, someone highlighting the differences. You think about someone that's, possibly a little bit afraid of, like, afraid of attaching, or possibly, like, and then, having that person, like, truly see them for who they are, and then not wanting to stay, like deciding to leave after that. And so, and I love how she just called it out, like, yeah, I'm like testing you. It's just very
No,
awkward.
she's definitely testing him. I feel like that's a trait kind of attached, like you said, like attachment theory. Like it seems like Joanne is definitely avoidant, and we see that play out throughout the whole show. There are times where she like distances herself and stuff, but I feel like a key trait of that is like discomfort with vulnerability and discomfort with closeness. And I think humor is like something she uses a lot to kind of like deflect some of that, but also while she's like testing the waters, like, are you someone I can trust? Because it's clear in the show, like, her past relationships haven't been something where she can be close or vulnerable, or trust wasn't like a main theme in them. And I feel like she wasn't like able to be entirely who she is, like at her core. Yeah, that shows up a lot.
Yeah, and I feel like the underlying message that she's giving off was, it's kind of like screaming out, is like, how can you hurt me? So she's listing off all these things just to try and scare him away because she wants to make sure that he won't hurt her. So that says like she's experienced a lot of hurt in the past. And like you said, she uses humor to mask it. She's very nonchalant about it, very avoidant, trying to keep a distance.
And I love how he's so drawn to someone who's completely opposite of her, of him, you know? And it's like you think about the way that his family presents, and you think about Rebecca, and so like the relationship that he just came out of. Let's put his brother aside for a little bit.
Tasha's a whole nother video, so.
Like it seems on the surface, right? Like it's just a very like functional family, a family that just there's not a lot of discord, not a lot of conflict, but you can tell that he's drawn to like the authenticity and like the genuineness and sincerity of her, like which and you can tell she exudes that. And so I love like when they say opposites attract. I mean, you see that here, but we really do see that in our counseling rooms as well. It's like almost you initially begin to search in a partner for like what you wish you had, you know, like those qualities and those traits that like you almost feel like are deficits of yours, and that's what you initially begin to kind of admire in, you know, in a partner. Now down the road, those are sometimes the things that kind of, you know, get on your nerves a little bit. But initially, those are the things that attract you to the person, and you see that instantly. Like that's really what he's gravitates to when he sees you.
I think authenticity is like the biggest thing with Noah. Like, I think the culture that he's in, there's a tendency to like maybe brush things under the rug or not talk about it, specifically his family dynamic. And I feel like he like you said, it's just so attracted to like Joanne's ability to just like say it how it is. And I think that is like what's driving him towards her or pursuing her.
Yeah, and this is actually something my therapist told me, but two of the most important things that we desire in life is the first one is attachment and the second is authenticity. And you can't get a good attachment without authenticity. So I think he is searching for that, even though she's avoidant. So she's still like kind of like on the line, flirting with the line, but he sees that authenticity in her. So that seems almost like a better option for him than Rebecca, who isn't as authentic. He can see the real her and they can create that real connection first.
I think a core value of his that's like very subliminally like kind of put throughout the show is just honesty to him is so important, like just being honest. He shows it time and time again to Joanne, like that he values that and that, you know, he's honest with her about where he stands, and it almost like scares her because she's not used to someone being so honest. So I think that that is like a huge like kind of like thing that he's like really interested in because she's like that, or at least has the capacity to be like that.
And you know, usually we see too, like with clients, or maybe even in our own lives, I don't know, but like when we're so used to dysfunction and chaos, especially people that have had that in their childhood, they oftentimes feel most comfortable, you know, in those kinds of settings. So we see that she came from that in some ways, and she kind of creates that a bit in this relationship with Noah, you know, with like not trusting him, and then it causes conflict then with her sister, and then there's like a disruption when he comes over to her parents' house and she gets the ick, and like all of this, right?
That episode was so funny. Oh my God.
I don't
The
know.
ick personified, like, oh my gosh. No, but like you're right though, because she like she almost presses the good old self-destruct button because it's too good to be true in her mind and starts to like see things she doesn't like, or being, you know, like when he brought the flowers and then he went into the sport jacket and she was just like, oh my God, what are you doing here? And then starts to like her sister, which brings it back to like the influences of extended family members kind of like playing out into our relationships. Yeah, there's a lot there for sure.
And then you slowly begin to see like she kind of like sits into like to the calmness and the peace that she initially was like attracted to, you know, after all of that chaos kind of calms down. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah. You made a good point that, like, if we grow up with chaos, we kind of seek that. I feel like there's just like something familiar about it for people. And it's almost like, but I know what to expect in this because, like, oh, this guy will hurt me, but that's fine. I don't really like, she plays it off very like with her past relationships and her podcast. She's very like, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter much. But I feel like what's different with Noah is like he shows something so different that she's never experienced. And that's when like her heart's in it. And it might be the first time that her heart's actually in it. And then that's when you see like the insecurities and the avoidance like kind of kicking in a little bit and just kind of distancing herself because it's just so unknown. It's so unfamiliar to her. Yeah, and I feel like that plays out in a lot of people's lives, like how we attach as young children is ultimately how we know how to attach when we grow up. Yeah. And she's like on the journey of figuring out like what that means. And it's not impossible for us to form secure attachments or healthy attachments, but it's scary and it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. Your brain gets comfortable with familiarity. So going outside, that's why people fear change so much. Like even just switching jobs or moving to a different state, like we know what's going to happen where we are. So this happens a lot in relationships. Like you were saying, like you form it in childhood and then you continue that throughout your life. So you see kids growing up in domestic violence and then they end up marrying somebody that has domestic violence tendencies. So you just create those patterns because you're so used to that behavior. Like I even notice sometimes with clients when they start talking to like a nice guy, they're like, he hasn't asked me for any like inappropriate photos yet. And I'm like, well, should that be the norm? Is that like
You're like,
where?
are you wanting
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that happens so often because we've created this culture where that's normal and people just expect that to happen and like it to go really inappropriate really fast. But now when you meet somebody who's willing to like pursue you and go through the the nice steps of like treating you very well, being a gentleman, that's scary.
Yes. Respect, like
Yeah. And they're
really good
like, does he even think I'm attractive? And I'm like, yeah, you've just been treated wrong this whole time.
Yes, it's just not as like blunt. Yeah.
We know how we're going to respond in situations that like we're used to. Yeah, like we know what to expect. But and then when anything new comes along, it's like, yeah, we don't know what to expect. We don't know how to respond. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. There's just so many unknowns and so many uncertainties, and that in itself can be very scary. And yeah, we see her, we see the avoidant of avoid, like we see moments of avoidance, but and then we also see moments of like anxiousness too with her in some way.
Yes. Yeah.
So, all right. So here's the final question. Do you think it's gonna work or do you think it can work?
Don't ask me that. I'm not ready for that. Oh my God. I need
Honestly, like
to.
honestly, from my perspective, I don't think so. I don't think it's gonna work.
Interesting. Why
So
not?
here's my perspective. No, go for it.
I
Go. Why isn't it gonna work, Hannah? Don't tell me.
think, I mean, this man is not just Jewish. Like, he's just not a regular Jew. He's a rabbi. That's what he has devoted his entire life to. And I just can't get past the fact that if he like drops his faith for somebody who doesn't share his faith, he's going to resent that. I think there's going to be a lot of problems.
So from a perspective of loving TV and seeing seasons like unfold, I have a slight feeling that there's definitely gonna be problems, 100%. Like the next season's gonna start like, yes, this is great. They're figuring out, and then like something's gonna happen. It's gonna be like blow up a little bit. And I don't know, I'm an optimistic person, but I'm hoping they don't completely shatter my heart. So I'm hoping that they maybe they have like a little like another tiff or another big problem, and then like eventually, couple seasons in, they like find a way. I don't I hope so. But obviously, I don't want him to compromise his faith. So, whatever that means, maybe it's Joanne's like personal exploration. No, but I hope they make it work.
I do too.
Obviously.
What
I'm not a psychic, so I don't know.
do you think, Natalie?
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't. There's a lot that's stacked up against them. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about it in terms of real life. I mean, we're talking about like a lot of things are important, like, you know, faith and friends and family. And yeah. So, and then a recent relationship. So it's, we didn't even talk about that, but he went from like one relationship right into another. So that can cause a lot of problems. Yeah. But I don't know. I think the only way that it would probably work is either if he admits that he really doesn't want to be a rabbi and
Yeah,
somehow
he's like following something that he never really wanted.
exactly, or if she, yeah, truly feels like she can come to the faith, you know, genuinely. Other than that, I don't know how it would work. Yeah, so I guess we'll
I think
see.
we're gonna be thrown around a couple times.
I think so too. Yeah. Oh, well, I really enjoyed this. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Yeah, I'm so glad.
I would love to talk more about this when season two comes. I don't know what, but there are rumors. I don't know.
Looking forward to that. So awesome. Well, thanks so much, guys, for joining us. And if you guys have any comments, feel free to leave them in the section below. And as always, until next time, keep reflecting.